Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Home sweet home. Hey everybody. Welcome back to Dear Abby. I am your host. My name is Abby. Just in case you guys don't know, I'm 26 years old. Yeah, I'm the host of this podcast. Welcome back for another fun, crazy episode. I already recorded one episode earlier. Sometimes when I record an episode and it's maybe after too long of a day, I get done recording and I'm like, I didn't feel good about that. I don't like to post it because it probably was not as bad as I think, but sometimes I have a tendency to ramble, and sometimes after recording a full episode is just pretty much all rambling. So, and it doesn't make sense. That's the thing. Sometimes I ramble and it kind of makes sense. Sometimes I ramble, it makes absolutely no sense the entire time. So I just feel like I confused everyone. So here we are again, but it's okay because maybe I'm just use that as an excuse to record again because I love to record. And I think it's fun because I feel like I'm actually talking to people. Last week I said we were going to talk about sensitive versus fragile, like, and just what in my head, what that makes me think of. It's something I think about a lot because I think sensitivity is a superpower, but it also can be extremely hard and a weakness. It can make you susceptible to a lot of pain. And also if you don't know how to handle the intense emotions sometimes that comes with, if you're like a hypersensitive person, not just normal sensitivity. I think all sensitivity is power, but hypersensitivity is what I'm talking about, which is something I've experienced my whole life. I don't know. It's something that I've hated about myself. Not hated, but that's a strong word. More so just like confused about in myself. I think with OCD recovery, it's kind of opened my eyes to maybe that there are some things that I could be better at in terms of reacting to my sensitivity in certain situations. And just, I don't know, being able to handle them better and using them as like a gift instead of feeling like it's a curse or feeling like it controls everything and it makes me super self-conscious and I take things personally when I feel very, very hypersensitive. When it comes to what other people are saying and everything like that. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but then I also just wanted to talk about just being yourself. I talked about that maybe a couple weeks ago, but I don't know. I just feel like this week has been a big week for me because I went back to therapy. I have had a couple of appointments again, which has been hard to go back to therapy just because doesn't feel good to like be stuck in a vicious OCD cycle again because you kind of just end up in the middle of it without really realizing that you're there again. That's something that is really hard about OCD. You kind of feel betrayed almost by your brain and by yourself, but it's inevitable and I think it happens to every single person that's trying to recover. Yeah, I kind of got stuck in it again to where I was ruminating basically all day about a million different things. It kind of switches subjects. It goes from what if I don't know, am a bad person? What if all my intentions are bad? That's been a big one lately. What, like if I'm doing something, it's actually so annoying. If I'm doing something nice, my OCD, I think probably it's my OCD, will say, but are you doing that because you actually want to? Or are you doing that just because you feel like you have to, because you've been indoctrinated to, because you've been blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I just wanted to do it because it's nice. Like that's a nice thing to do. And I want to do that. Like anyway, so it's a lot of second guessing intentions. Yeah, that's kind of what we're going to talk about. But first I wanted to go into dubs and L's and then we'll do those topics and then we will do a Dear Abby. So hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, you guys, I am feeling very, very excited and emo because this podcast is now made possible by No CD. You guys have heard me talk about No CD a million times in my podcast. I did therapy there. I go to support groups still to this day. And it's been such a huge part of my recovery journey. I couldn't be more excited about this partnership with them. NoCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NoCD therapists are trained in exposure response prevention therapy, which is a gold standard treatment for OCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual, live, face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists from anywhere inside or outside the U.S. It's affordable and they accept most major insurance plans, so getting help has never been easier. NoCD therapy goes beyond sessions. It includes in-between session support where you can message your therapist anytime, access therapeutic tools, and get support from a community of peers who are overcoming OCD right in the NoCD platform. Breaking the OCD cycle takes effective treatment. Visit NoCD.com today and book a free 15-minute call with their care team, many of whom have also experienced OCD. If you think you may be struggling with OCD, there's always hope. Now is a time to regain your life. Visit NoCD.com today. Look what we have here. You guys, whoa, it looks crazy on the screen. Yeah, I saved up, got an iPad. Well, I'm not going to say I saved up. That's kind of a lie. I just had enough. I didn't make any plans. I've just always wanted to get an iPad. I've always wanted to be an iPad kid, you know, draw, paint my iPad, and also watch more anime on my iPad whenever I wanted. So I'm really excited that I had enough in my bank account and I bought it on a whim. Kind of, not really. I've been thinking about it for years, but kind of on a whim. Everything, okay, you can say everything is on a whim that you buy, okay? Unless it's like a house or something, everything's on a whim. It's like, oh, I like that. I kind of want it right now. This works out, and then you buy it. Yeah, I'm very excited to be using it. It's very much worth it already to me. So I just wanted something portable that I could go to coffee shops with, or that if I wanted to work from home, I didn't have to. Or not, yeah, if I wanted to work, period, I didn't have to just be on my PC, because that's mostly just for gaming. And I kind of wanted like an iPad that I can use for my passion projects and work and, you know, all that fun stuff. And to get better at digital art, because I still really like doing that. And it's been a while because work has been, you know, a new job, a new corporate type job is kind of stressful and takes a lot of extra time and brain power. So I'm excited to have this little iPad. So that is a dub. An L for me is my face has been getting so red during conversation with just anyone. And I have not experienced this type of social anxiety in a long time because, well, first of all, when I was working from home, I didn't really talk to a lot of people, to be honest. And now I remember why, because my face turns into a cherry tomato when I'm having a conversation. There is nothing worse than when I'm trying to talk about something work related. If there's one person, I'm fine. If there's two people, that's pushing it. If there's, oh, heaven forbid that there's three people listening to what I'm saying, especially in a workplace, and I'm talking about something that I think is a good idea, myself, anything, I will start talking and then I become super aware that people are looking at me. And then I start to become aware that I feel hot and I feel stupid. And then I start to like, feel like I'm stumbling on my words. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone's noticing that my face is getting red. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And it makes me not want to bring up any ideas at work. I feel so stupid and it's not ideal when you're trying to have people take you kind of seriously enough to where like you've been thinking about something. Or like you're trying to like be friends with people and then you have a red face when you try to talk. I just feel like it's so weird. I didn't realize that I can be shy still at this age, but I can be. Okay, people please just think of it as endearing instead of embarrassing. That's what I like to tell myself. I find it endearing about myself. Truthfully, I enjoy sometimes being, no, I don't, but I can find a love for that part of myself that feels a little bit shy and a little bit awkward in conversation. But I'm great one-on-one, okay? I'm okay in a group if I know them pretty well. But yeah, I don't know, that's been a huge L, is like I've just noticed that I feel First of all, I cringe a lot when I'm talking just in general to people. Not people I know, just people I don't know. Like, it's really hard to be working from home, not talking to a lot of people, like in a professional setting, and then going into an office. And it's like, I feel like I'm a mom that I've only been talking to kids. And then you go back into an office setting, you're like, I forget how to socially interact. Like, am I sharing too much? Am I not sharing enough? Am I being weird because I'm not talking enough? Do I need to talk more? Am I being unfriendly? Deep down, I know that, like, it's okay and I can just be myself. But sometimes I overthink about what that is. I feel like there was another L, but I don't remember. Oh, I wanted to say thank you because last week I was very vulnerable and I was just sharing how I feel very... Sometimes I don't know if I have a lot to offer with my podcast, and I got sweet messages, and, you know, I really do appreciate that. Like, I genuinely do feel like I have purpose when I do my podcast, and the fact that there's other people like me, other girls, guys like me that enjoy just relating about whatever, you know, I'm talking about that day, that's very meaningful to me. And I wish it could be in person because I do miss that factor of like connecting to people. IRL, this is okay though in the meantime, you know? Eventually, I was thinking if I ever did a live show, like what that would look like, I think it would be more of a calm setting, but also I think it'd be fun. I would just do more Q&A, but not like about me, just like, you know, talk about everything. If I don't know, I just think it would be fun, or like a little meetup or something. I've always been scared to do that, but I think that would be fun. I mean, honestly, a room full of people like me, I'm just saying, if you're also like me where you have to be forced to socially interact most of the time. I mean, I'm a grown adult. I can social interact fine, but I feel weird internally and I don't know how I'm perceived externally. Yeah, I feel like it would be interesting. We're just all like, I don't know. I feel like it could be fun. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about was sensitive versus fragile. Really the main things that I have been thinking about and something I've noticed with a difference. And this is, I am not a professional. I don't really know what I'm talking about. This is just my personal experience, my personal observation, and just what my hypothesis. Okay. And just the words that I'm using is just to describe an experience. I don't know like what they mean professionally or anything like that. So just a disclaimer. When I talk about sensitivity, again, it's more like hypersensitive people or hypersensitive, what are they called? HSPs or something. I think that's what I had a therapist say that I seemed like an HSP, and she gave me a book. I never read it because I was like, oh, that's cool, you know, but I'm like, eh, who cares? Now that I'm getting older and wiser and more sensitive sometimes, I've realized how much it does affect me in both positive and negative ways, and how it affects my relationships, how it affects the way I think about myself, about others. And yeah, it's more helpful to know, I think, if you're very sensitive, to know what that really means and also how it's affecting you in everyday life. And most of the time for me, it's in my reactions to things and just understanding that I get overwhelmed easily or overstimulated or something. And so I feel like I need to learn how to regulate my nervous system, learn how to regulate how I'm feeling to kind of come back to a safe place, I guess, inside of myself. So just to give an example of sensitive, the type of sensitivity I'm talking about can be really with obviously your senses. So smells, sound, taste sometimes, I don't know, vision, visual things are not really overstimulating for me. The only thing are these lights. These lights are stimulating, but I think they'd do that for anyone because they're pretty bright, like textures and stuff like that. And then also I think just internally, if you are just a really tender person or very sensitive, like your heart, and you get really easily moved, really easily like kind of disturbed by things, I think that plays with OCD a lot. Like I think those two kind of bounce off each other a bit, because if I see something that's, you know, more like bad or evil type stuff or like scary movies, I don't like those. I'll think about those for months and I won't be able to sleep and I'll feel really yucky for a long time. Yeah. So for me, personally, I feel like my sensitivity comes up with movies and sounds and music and smells. Like that to me, I'm the most sensitive to those things because I don't know what it is, but I just am. One time, my ex-husband had like a candle that he put on in the at like 10 o'clock. I was already asleep or something. I woke up at like 2. I was like, I felt like I was gonna throw up. I felt so scared and sick and weird. And I had to go outside. It was like in the middle of winter in Utah. And I went outside and I had to like sit outside. And it was literally just because the candle was like, I felt so weirdly overwhelmed by the candle. I know that's such a weird thing, but that was like, I literally was like dry heaving. I was like, I'm going to be sick. Maybe I was allergic. Like I genuinely think I was allergic or something. Other examples are, if I, like I watched the Joker movie, like the newest Joker movie, forgot the actor who's in it, but Joaquin Phoenix, I think is his name. I had to leave in the middle of that movie because I was just about to throw up and like sob. And I literally cried in the car for 30 minutes just because of the violence and like the imagery and stuff like that. Like, and I couldn't get that out of my head. And I still have like intrusive thoughts of things that happened in that movie and they don't feel great. And, just like stuff like that. I'm like, I understand that my OCD plays with that, but at the same time, I also think I'm just sensitive. Like I just sometimes would rather not experience things and I don't really want to become desensitized. I kind of like that. I want to keep things tender and meaningful and I don't want to become desensitized, you know, just because it's like you're being a baby, just like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm okay to be sensitive and, I like that about myself. And sounds. Sounds is another big one in music, but sounds specifically, like if I hear, like I just don't like loud sounds. I don't like when sounds feel echoey. If I'm in a stadium or if I'm even like in high school, like echoey walls where there's like space, but people are talking and then there's like little ramblings of stuff. Oh no, that makes me like feel like I'm gonna pass out. I feel so disconnected, like disassociated almost. My mom said after school, when I was in elementary school, like every single day, and I remember this, and I remember hating the cafeteria because it was so loud and it was like echoey and there was like laughing, yelling, you know, chewing, like, and I just remember always getting sick after the cafeteria, going to the nurse's office and being like, I'm sick. And, you know, I'd call my mom and she'd be like, oh, you know, this happens pretty much every single day. And growing up now, I'm like, oh, I just like am a little, I was a sensitive little girl and I was sensitive to sounds and I get really anxious. I'm very aware of like the fragility of human life and like how fragile we actually really are. And I think that's, again, a gift, but also can be kind of like a, it can be kind of hard, you know, you feel a little bit out of place. You feel like, why am I thinking about these things when no one else is, and why do I feel like this when I feel like everyone else is just like not worrying, just feels like skipping around, you know? But I do feel like I skip, like skipping around sometimes. So I'm not saying that's like all my life has been, is like just sensitive all the time, but it does play a big role, I think. And then fragile, like being fragile for me is different than sensitive. I think fragile is almost like you don't trust yourself. You doubt yourself so much. You're so negative towards yourself. You have so much fear and you feed the fear instead of feeding trust. And you just let yourself worry until you are so irritable and you're just constantly on edge. And that's how I was for a while. And I sometimes, if I'm not taking care of myself, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I feel like I can get to that point. And then if one person says one thing that I, you know, maybe stings a little bit, it's like my whole world shatters in one moment. And then I, my confidence, everything just like diminishes immediately almost. Or if I, you know, see something I don't love, or if I see something mean or whatever, it used to make me crumble because I was sensitive. But I was sensitive without also having that self-trust and understanding that my sensitivity is a blessing, but it also doesn't mean that I'm weak. And it doesn't mean that I also have to talk bad to myself, that I can't be like, I can see things, I can experience things and I'll be okay. I might feel sad. I might feel overwhelmed, but my reaction can be totally mature. It can be totally kind and humble and all of the things that like I strive to be. And then I think we really are to our core when we kind of just surrender our lives. I think like the fragile part of being sensitive is what I don't think that we actually need to experience all of the time when we're sensitive. I think being fragile is worse if you're like sensitive without really taking accountability and that you are not a victim just because you are sensitive and you don't have to just like react exactly how your body tells you to or react exactly how you feel. It's kind of just you feel big, you feel heavy, you feel overwhelmed, but you also have full responsibility and full capability of reacting in a good way, in a positive way, in a healthy way to a lot of things. So yeah, that's something I think I want to talk more about, sensitivity and being sensitive, maybe in other episodes. But yeah, I love being sensitive. I think if you're a sensitive person, guy or girl, like it is a total superpower, but it is hard. And you really have to kind of just learn and be curious about yourself, be curious about your sensitivity. And also sometimes being sensitive makes you feel like you have to shove your emotions onto other people. And I definitely used to do that. It's like a tendency even now. My emotions are more important than other people's, like me. It can be very selfish because it feels overwhelming. So when you have a little bit more power over it and you're able to be sensitive, but also be mature and be sensitive and also be very in tune with other people and not let them like the emotions control you, I feel like that's where you get the power from. And that's where I've like learned to love being sensitive. And I can actually use it to get closer to people rather than like get further and further away from them or make it all about me and be more selfish, I guess. But it is a beautiful thing. And it doesn't mean you are a baby, okay? If you're sensitive, you're not a little baby, okay? You're very strong, but you do have to work at it to not let it get the best of you, I guess, if that makes sense. So we're gonna switch gears for a second because as I said at the beginning, I think with doing a podcast, with a lot of change in my life that has happened and internally a lot of change, a lot of learning about healing, learning about what can I do better in this area and this area and how can I get healthier and how can I heal. A lot of that has taken me to a place where I feel like all I am is like a continuous self-help project. It can be really exhausting because I'm never going to get to like this perfect place, you know? And the more I try, the more I like further away I get from it. And by try, I mean like try to be perfect or try to perfectly heal or try to like never talk about my divorce too much or never be like the sad divorcee or never be like the victim OCD person or, you know. And the other day I was feeling kind of low because I felt really silly at work. And I think socially I just have a hard time and I put a lot of pressure on myself to like be like the funniest person to be. I don't even talk that much, but internally I'm like trying to be like, oh, you should be more funny, you should be more happy, you shouldn't like, you should be more impressive, you should be smarter, and all of these things. I just felt really exhausted and I felt very disconnected from myself because I really don't think that my value comes from what I can show. I don't know what like show kind of show I can put on, I guess. I don't feel like that's where my, that's like not who I am. Yeah, I just get very caught up in, oh, I could be this way. And sometimes I watch other people's videos or YouTube videos and I just think, oh, they're like so funny. I wish I was funnier. I wish I was prettier. I wish I was like better at this. I wish I was like smarter. I think that's probably why I feel like I have nothing to offer is because I've been comparing myself to others. And that just always diminishes your own light, your own, what you have to offer the world. I just kind of was driving a lot of these good times where I feel like I have epiphanies or just like feel connected to myself again or connected to God or whatever, I feel like always happen in the car. I think it's because you're moving. But yeah, I just was thinking like, I'm trying to like do all of these, like I'm doing it again. Like it was like, oh, Abby, you're doing it again. You're trying to like be so impressive. You're trying to be so smart. You're trying to be so funny. You're trying to be so perfect at everything to like kind of fill maybe a void or fill something that feels like it's missing. And the more I do that, the further away from myself I get. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it again. And even just noticing that I'm doing it again, instantly it felt like a weight was like fell off my shoulders. And I was like, oh, I don't have to be the most impressive person. I don't have to like impress people. That's just not where my worth comes from. I was like, I just really want to be kind. Like, I just want to be a nice person. Yeah. I think I just feel pressure, especially when now you have people listening to your story. Like, you really just don't want to disappoint. But I will say, even just noticing that, you know, I'm doing that again is so helpful, and to just bring awareness to it. And then also, again, practicing self-compassion, like talking to myself so kindly now, again restarting that, because I get so caught up when I kind of know the answers and then I still mess it up. Like, that's the worst feeling. But like, we all do that, you know, like, you know what you should do and you don't do it, or you try it and you fail at it. And I feel like that sucks, obviously. And for me, that's really where I have to like focus on my faith, you know, in God and Jesus. Like, my faith is really important to me. That's just kind of where I turn when I don't really know where else to turn. And I feel like I always get comfort, and it's not like an immediate comfort, but I feel like, okay, I think someone's listening, and I think it's okay that I keep failing at this. But I do experience relief sometimes, and that relief is so worth it. So sure, I might try to fight my OCD for 6 months and I get like a week of actual relief. That's awesome and it's worth it. I just kind of felt reinvigorated with more love for myself, and like, it's okay to love yourself. Like, I feel sometimes guilty if I enjoy a day. Yeah, this is stupid. This is so stupid. So stupid. Like, I feel like guilty if I enjoy something, or if I enjoy a day, or if I'm like having fun. I feel so guilty. Like, I feel like I'm not supposed to be having a good life. I'm not supposed to be happy. It's so weird. And I still battle with that. But some days I'm like able to just enjoy life and it's not that crazy. Yeah. So when I'm able to kind of find myself again and tell myself, I literally have to talk to myself like this. Okay, Abby, listen, you have come so far. You have genuinely worked so hard and you have not done everything right. You haven't done OCD recovery perfectly. You're not a perfect student when it comes to therapy. You don't always make the right decisions, but you are working so hard and you're trying, like, with your whole heart, you are trying. And that's got to be enough, you know? That's got to be enough. And then I just like tell myself that it's okay to rest. Like, you have done everything you can right now, so just rest. That is now my practice that I'm trying to continue with. It's a hard habit to break when you have negative self-talk. It really is. It really gets ingrained into the just an automatic where your brain goes. So yeah, it's worth it. And everything that I have felt, I just wanted to share and to reiterate that, like, as much as I deserve, or I am able to love myself, and I deserve to love myself and to teach myself how to talk kindly to myself, so do you. And everyone listening deserves that. Everyone listening is capable. Like, no matter how many times you failed, you are capable still of moving forward and having a good life. And it just might not look exactly what you think maybe a good life looks like, but you can make it meaningful, and it's going to be full, and you're going to be okay, and it's going to be a full life. Yeah, just wanted to remind everyone, okay? Because it can suck out there. Sometimes I will post random things on my social media about God, and even if you don't share the same beliefs or anything like that, I just want to say I am very grateful for people who respect other people's faiths and beliefs. And I respect all beliefs and faiths. And like, I genuinely believe, like, let people have their conviction, let people have the faith if it's not hurting anyone. And so I just want to say thank you, because I don't know why I would expect like comments on that and stuff. I'm sure behind my back there is, but I just want to say thank you. So if you follow me and you see those and you're just don't say anything and you're disrespectful about it, I, from the bottom of my heart, I really do appreciate that. So let's do a Dear Abby and then we will wrap this baby up. For this Dear Abby, it is just, I forgot this is what I wanted to do because there, I've gotten messages about my curly hair routine. I got a DM and they asked about my curly hair routine. And then I've gotten a Dear Abby text about this as well. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just do a quick hair routine and talk about my favorite products for curly hair. Yeah, I'll make it nice and quick. Okay. I also have, I think, a video on this on my TikTok in the archives. If you scroll down a bit of me doing my hair. And I think maybe I have something on YouTube. Maybe. I think maybe I took it down. So my curly hair routine really starts in the shower, obviously. No, this is like a, I'm styling my hair day. This is what it looks like. Shampoo my hair once or twice, depending on how well it's taking in moisture. Condition my hair. I do not condition the roots more than like, I will do it for 1 second. I'll do one, done. Okay. And then I just really condition the bottom of my hair. Yeah. And then once I get out of the shower, I do not touch it with a towel. I let it just basically bug the crap out of me and get on my shoulders, get on my back. It's very annoying, but I need it to have the moisture in as long as possible to really help my curls shape, you know, exactly how I want. So I get out of the shower, hair is dripping. Usually go put a robe on or something so it's not that annoying to have hair dripping all over you, because that's one of the most uncomfortable things after a shower. I don't put any product yet in, but I start to comb through it and then maybe I'll put in some leave-in conditioner. I do not do a lot of leave-in conditioner. I do a little bit. I don't want it to be heavy. Then I'll use the Denman brush. D-E-N as in Nancy, M-A-N as in Nancy brush. I got it off Amazon. There's a bunch of different styles. So I don't know what the difference is really between the styles. Just Denman brush. And then I curl away from my face. So kind of out to the sides. And I curl down. Like I get all the way to my roots. I start the curl and I start curling downwards. And then I scrunch it. You can also curl it however you want, just depending on where you want the curls to fall and which way. Then I scrunch it and you should hear like the, that was such a gross sound probably. Scrunch it so you can hear the moisture still in your hair. You might need to spray it if it's like already gone dry at the roots, but you want the roots to still be wet if you don't want it to be frizzy. Well, I guess before I do that part of it, I will section it off. Then I'll use a Denman brush to each little section, scrunch it. And then I put some product in, like I use gel, not mousse. So I use a little bit of gel, scrunch it again. Then I let it just sit and I do the other sections. I do the same thing. Then I use a diffuser and I just diffuse the top for a little bit and I don't touch anything. Do not touch it with your hands a lot is what I've heard. Yeah, I diffuse it for about 5 minutes, just the top, the roots. And then I let it air dry for a little bit, like maybe 20 minutes, depending on how fast your hair dries too. And then I'll go in with a diffuser and just diffuse it like normal. I'll flip my hair upside down. I'll diffuse it upside down until it's like pretty much fully dry. And then I let it air dry a little bit more. And then once it's fully dry, I flip my hair upside down. I do that thing where you put your fingers into your hair kind of at your roots and you just kind of shake the curls away from each other so they start to, you know, they're all really fully formed but now they're starting to disconnect and so it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And then at that point I am done. And sometimes if I want more of a frizzed look, I will maybe comb through a little bit more with my fingers and then I'll blow dry it without a diffuser on. So just to get some extra oomph, but depends on what I'm going for that day. My favorite things that I use, like the gel that I use right now was from Shea Moisture. It's my favorite one. I've used a lot. That's probably honestly my favorite one. I don't know how good it is for my hair, to be honest. So I should probably look into that. But right now it helps hold my curls. And it's not crunchy, it's not weird. But I will say with curly hair, you do have to brush your or clean off your brush a lot because you get, we put a lot of product in our hair to style it. And so if you use a lot of product, your brush becomes yucky pretty fast. So make sure you brush it with like a toothbrush, like an old toothbrush. You just put it in soap, let it sit there in like hot water, get like some soap, like shampoo or something. And then you just brush the brush with a toothbrush. And then, yeah, and you're good to go. I don't like to put a lot of oil or anything in my hair. My hair is already pretty oily. So I stay away from that. And that's it. So I hope that helps, helpful. Maybe I should make another YouTube video sometime of doing my hair routine now that it's short. I think that'd be fun. I like doing those videos. Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening this week. I will be back same time, same place, different outfit next week. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to Apple and leave a rating or review. Same with on Spotify, you can leave a rating and review. And on YouTube, you can like, subscribe, comment. You can also follow me on any social media platform. Not any, just TikTok and Instagram at dearabby__, I think, because someone else has Dear Abby. Okay, love you. Have a good weekend. Bye. Oh, I'm taking a ride to join at late. 눈치 보면서 들어가야 할 때 찾아. 나머진 바빠. 개설레임 바꾸는 사람들.